Trust you all had a good Thanksgiving. And hey, Dave. I know we had a great day, good fellowship, and just appreciating the Lord and what He has done and what He has restored and what He has given us. And as that song said, you know, that whole concept of find me in this place. And if the Lord would come and find you at any given time in your day, let alone your life, what would He find you doing? What would be, what's your posture? What's your attitude? You know, it's like someone drops in on you. The goal, it's a great goal. We resist perfectionism, but we pursue excellence. The pursuit of excellence is always a good pursuit. Living in perfectionism is a killer for you and everybody around you, but pursuing excellence is always a good thing. And I want the Lord to find me at any time in a place of being grateful, of being thankful. That's quite a challenge. That's quite a, you know, high mark actually to attain to. Unless I'm not talking to the right group. Maybe you're all always there. You stay in a good place. That's amazing. But it is a challenge. There's some effort. There's some choice that continually needs to be made to stay in a grateful place, to stay in a thankful place, to stay in a dreaming place, to stay in a believing place. Because everything out there that is not from the Lord is attacking those areas in your life to make you discontent, to make you ungrateful, to make you perceive that you're a victim, to make you perceive that people and things are stealing from you, to make you perceive that things aren't going well. What if when you're convinced things aren't going well, you're totally wrong? Held up in traffic, not so that you'd be late, but so that you miss the oncoming accident. Stumbling in something that seems that's holding you up, and another disappointment of why you can't go, all because God says, not yet. If you leave now, you'll miss one of the most important things in your life. And the only way to overcome that and to stay in a good place is to stay grateful, to stay thankful, to maintain, to watch over. I was listening to President Trump's, what he shared on Thanksgiving Day, his Thanksgiving message. Wow, it was just beautiful. I loved it. It was just beautiful. It was about this. We have a president that is putting us back from his inauguration speech on and since then, putting us back under God and putting us back under blessings, because he has this position of authority. And we're going to talk in a little bit about prayer and about how you should perceive yourself in prayer. And he has this role as president, it's a valid thing in heaven and earth. Not only on earth, but in heaven as well. And he has authority, and he's using that authority to place our country back and our nation back under God's blessings. And he did that again on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is a day, and I should just play the video, but when we acknowledge that Almighty God has given us good things, it's like, yeah, baby, say it. It's so simple, but so profound. And he goes back through how the pilgrims came, and the first thing they do when they hit the beach, when they hit the shore, is to give thanks. And then George Washington, our first president, acknowledges this, we need to have a day of thanksgiving. And then it was President Lincoln at the end of the Civil War that proclaims, this is the why it's the date, is it the third Thursday of each November? That it's a national day of Thanksgiving. Like, who chose that? Our forefathers. Because they knew it was important. Of all the other things we celebrate, this is really important. To stop, to pause, and to be thankful. Be thankful to God, be thankful to one another, to give thanks for that. And that he said it should be, President Lincoln said it should be a day when we pray for our nation and pray for the healing. And they were in a place, in a position after the Civil War where there was a need for a lot of healing to take place, wasn't there? A lot of divisions. I mean, the wounds continue now from that division, separation. And our nation, again, is in a place, has been in a place, and a place where we need healing. And we represent that, people. You're not powerless. You're powerful. Because every person that enters into this creates and changes the atmosphere. I felt today, this is going to be kind of fun, actually, to go back to something so elementary. I'm going to teach on the Lord's Prayer. Amazing. And you may start to feel like you're in Sunday school again, but there's no end. I love this. Until I'm done and the end of my days, whatever those were, that would be, that I continue to go back and go back over things, and I teach it again for the first time. You know, I go back to it, and the revelation is fresh and new. As a matter of fact, I don't do well with trying to teach or talk about things that are old, like old revelation. I want to maintain a life in the Lord where it's always fresh and always new. I don't want to have stepping stones in my life of how the Lord got me here, and those are significant, but I don't want to camp out any place. Amen? So I resist retirement, the concept of that. What's retirement anyways? Like, wow, I don't want to get too deep into that. But the concept, the mindset of retirement, I don't like it. Now, if it's a season where you can rest from some of the hard labor and some things can change, that's great. But if it means to you stop living, that's not great. My grandfather died. He wasn't unhealthy, but he died shortly after he retired. Because when retirement means I lost my purpose and I don't count anymore, then that's bad. And as a believer, you don't ever have to retire. You just get upgrades in living. Can we agree on that? This is important because what you think is what you become, and how you perceive things changes how you walk and your whole demeanor. And you'll be full of life and filled with life. So let's revisit this very basic, simple thing. Is there anything more fundamental other than believing in Jesus than prayer in our Christian walk, in our walk with the Lord? It's right at the, 101 first class, How do I become a Christian? And then what do? Christians pray. And then people say, how do I pray? Or like, I would kind of minimize that in my life. And I've said, when I'm talking to people, I say, oh, if you can talk to people, you can talk to God. I don't know that I'm going to say that anymore, and here's why. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 5. There's a lot before and after this verse, because it's the Bible. It goes all the way back to the beginning, and there's good stuff back there, and it goes all the way to the end, and there's good stuff there. But just back up a few verses. Verse 5 of chapter 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. That's a good word right there. Okay, good. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't like hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. That bothers us and it bothers God. It's like that's not what prayer is for. Prayer is not to be seen. It's not for people to look at you and go, whoa, he's spiritual, he's praying again. Or look at that holy man walking down the street in prayer. God's like, I'm not impressed with that. Assuredly, I say to you, in the end of that verse, they have their reward. And that's as much as you get. A few people went, oh, he's holy. Okay, you're paid in full. But you, when you pray, go into your room And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. So this is a big key. And it purifies our heart, doesn't it? Like, those are the prayers that are the real, there's the real thing. So we're not praying to be seen by men. There's no credit from man. There's no acknowledgement. This is something that's done in secret. This is something that's done between you and the Lord. That's when you have the real conversations with someone you're close to, right? Not when you're out in public, but you're like, yeah, let's go talk when no one else is watching and looking, and let's see what conversation's there. Let's see what your attitude's like there. Let's see what, you know, that's where the stuff comes out, huh? When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. Now, here's what's funny about that statement. Then he gives an example of prayer for the purpose of instruction, and we repeat that. If you don't repeat what's coming up in faith, then it's just a vain repetition. And you don't just have to be a Catholic or have a background in some other denomination to not be guilty of this. We can do it. Anytime you start doing things by rote, you don't do them in faith. Anything that you don't do in faith is sin. That's scripture. Whoa, 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 whoa. Anything you don't do in faith is sin. So you don't get credit. You don't get little gold stars for praying something that's rote, that's not meant in your heart, that's not real, that's not a real connection, that's not done in faith. Faith is, I'm praying this because I know and I believe that I'm connecting. Now, we sing songs. They're written. We don't write the songs as we sing them, do we? But we sing them in faith. So they're not, we don't just go through the song list. Sometimes we catch ourselves doing that, and we correct that. We go, okay, guys, let's not just do the song. Let's not just do a song list today. Let's make sure we worship. We have to watch over ourselves as a worship team. We just go through, let's do, you know, hymn number, or now we've graduated to, you know, praise and worship Bethel music number. It's still, you know, if we're not watch over that, it's still the same thing. It needs to be heartfelt. It needs passionate. It needs to be done with faith. For they think that they will be heard of their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. So, I've been listening and watching my own self, listening. And prayer's got to be a whole lot more than telling God things that do we think he doesn't know already. And then we're kind of like, if we can whine about it or sound pathetic enough about it, just maybe he'll do something. That can't be prayer. I even hear other leaders pray this way. I'm like, this is painful. And we do our, I'm probably going to step on some things, but hear my heart. Because I think we need to shake this up. I'm always really concerned about prayer lists and sending out prayer things and prayer chains and all that. I see the people that get the prayer, that are on the prayer chain, like, wow. There's nothing about your life observing you, looking at you, that looks like prayer. And yet you're on the prayer chain and you're passing on the prayer. Like, if I do have a prayer request, I want to give it to someone that I feel has a connection, not someone that talks like everybody else and not someone that doesn't have faith. Like, That's not the goal. And sometimes when we're putting things out, and just hang on to your seats, just hear me, and if something's wrong, just throw it away. How many people does it take? How many prayers does it take to actually get a miracle? A breakthrough. How many? Let's see. It's got to be in here somewhere. Thank God we have social media so we can put that prayer request out and get a lot of likes and a lot of hits, and that's going to be better answers, right? It's got to be in here. Has to be here. Because we put so much emphasis on broadcasting a need. Now, there are instances where we pray as a church. There are instances where we need to pray as a nation, the whole nation of Israel. There's times when they need to fast and pray, and they need to do that together. One heart, one mode. So there's really value to that. But I think often I listen, I watch, I observe, I get caught up in it myself and go, what I think is happening is that we're on a search for that one person that has faith to pray for that healing. When we find that person and they pray that one thing, that it's probably a child. When they get the prayer requests, our little ones, like that's what you want to hear, the real faith prayers. You would visit the bedrooms where our children are being put to bed, hear those prayers. Now, that's the stuff. If we're going to have to listen to prayers, those are the ones I want to listen to. Right? Some of your parents, grandparents. And if you don't practice, like we've not done that well. But I know some of our young adults are doing, so I get credit for it just because I'm here. Our young parents, when you teach them to pray, and you don't have to teach them much, you just do that. As a matter of fact, here's the story I'm hearing. They keep you on track. They're the ones that say, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. And those are the ones that probably keep my hide out of trouble half the time because they're praying for Pastor Rick and pray. So we need prayers that are prayed in faith. That's what we're looking for. And it's not about numbers. It's about if a man will pray and believe. It's about that. So listen, I want you to look at this prayer in a fresh way today, because Jesus is saying, I want to teach you how to pray. I don't want to teach you the prayer. I want to teach you how to pray. And here's the example. Here's the sample. Have you ever been reading something and you get the sample and it's marked as sample? Here's how to fill out this form. And it's a sample. You don't want to fill out the form with those answers, because it'll be bad. It's not good information for you. It's just, here's how you fill out this line. Here's how you fill out that line here, da, da, da. But you need to put in your own information, right? You don't want to fill out send in a sample form. You won't get the loan. You won't get approved for college. You won't make it because you're John Doe. That's not your name. There's no social security number for John Doe or Jane, his wife. So it's very important for you to put your own information into this, right? With you? Are you with me? So I'm sitting in one of our prayer times on a Monday night, and I'm just meditating on these things and thinking this. Lord, what's effectual prayer? What's the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous? What's working? What matters? And I remember this we all know, our Father which art in heaven, da da da. And I go, this is that, and this is that, and this is that. Kind of like this section equals and a definition, and this section is equals this. And I'm like, yeah. And right away I go, this first section is worship and praise. Like it's praise, like hallowed be thy name. So I'm meditating on this, and I kind of go down through the line. Then I went, whoa, 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 whoa. All of a sudden I missed something so important right in the first two words. What are the first two words, mostly in any version you have? Something like this, our Father. If you miss that, you'll miss the whole thing. So what is that? That is the definition, that's possessive. I only had one father on this earth, one real father, and that's who I called Dad. Wasn't it? I see other men. They may even been fatherly to me or good men or uncles or whatever, but I have one father. There's one person that I went father to, my dad. And I grew up with, and I had a good relationship with him, but I had one. And we're just talking normal situations. Don't fall off the cliff if you've had a bad situation, because I know those are bad and it makes it difficult to use as examples. But let's just stay on normal, how it's supposed to be, not how it necessarily was. So it's very important as you pray that you come in. This is, Jesus is teaching you something, and what's he saying? Here's how you do this. You're not a servant. You're not a lot of other things. You're not an employee. See, the religious spirit, how funny it is that it causes you to be live this subservient. There's not an emphasis on relationship in anything that's religious. When we do church and it's religious, it's not based on relationship. And I had a proneness, a bend as I grew up in church to go here and to make God something huge and terrible and big. And all of that's relevant in its own way, but there was a disconnect, and I wasn't, didn't come as a son, I'm missing this. And so the posture of a son or daughter, it's not a gender thing, it's just the posture of a son is different than anybody else in the neighborhood, right? My daughter doesn't knock on the door when she comes to my house. Now, there are a couple others that do the same thing, but hey, that's irrelevant. But that is based on they're at that level, that status. It'd be ridiculous if my daughter came to our house and knocked on the door. We would be like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Even as an adult, like, just walk in. She locks me in. Oh, Lord. We love you, Phyllis. She does get those doors locked. I can't tell you how many times I've run my face into the door. Because it's locked way before any burglars or even, you know, anywhere, any place, you know. Bam. Wow. When did she do that, you know? So the beginning of prayer is very important. If your soul's been redeemed through faith by the Savior, you're a son, you're a daughter, and that's how you come. You come as a father. I love the Holy Spirit, and I want to learn as much as I can about him. I love the Savior. I love Jesus. But I communicate with the Father. And that's always, those are my prayer. I talk to the three in one. So it's not a problem, and I don't want to get theological about it. But I want to be relational about it. He reconciled me to himself through his son so that I could be one with him, so I could talk to my father. I don't have to go through an operator of direct connection with my father. And so my prayer, my commune is to him. And then I worship. Now, as a son, as a daughter, this changes everything, people. And this is what Jesus wants you to know about your prayer. You walk in the authority of a son and daughter. You don't walk in this like a neighborhood kid. You have the, in other cultures, there's a signet ring. If you have that signet ring, like it's golden. That's like, you know, signature on a check. That's the pass. It's the, you know, we have passes. If you work at a hospital or school, you might have a card, a pass on your, you know, hanging around your neck, or you have some other way that you can get through the doors, like you've got a pass. Like your posture, your position as a son is that pass. And you come in. Hebrews says, come in boldly. Come in. And there's a respect and a reverence. It's not that you do not respect, or I don't like people that get so casual that I don't like that either. But you can come freely, and you come with this so that when you praise and when you worship, this is very important for you to get. I'm excited about this to share this, and I want you to get revelation about it. You change atmosphere. It's not so much about who you are in yourself. It's about who you are in him. Once you're a son, you walk in something different. When you pray, stuff happens, and you need to know that and believe that. We need to graduate these prayers that are Hail Marys, you know, like, don't, forget it, don't do that. They need to be effectual. They need to be purposeful. When my daughter asks me for something or says I can do something, she does it out of knowing who I am and what I will do. Like she has confidence about that. She doesn't talk like fearfully or hopefully, or when she asks something, she has confidence that I can give it to her. It looks different. There's no negotiating in kingdom prayer. Stop negotiating. Stop making deals. You have nothing to work with anyways. Let's get all negotiating out of our prayer life. All that, let's make a deal, God. Just don't do that. You're cooked. You don't want to come that way. It's like, oh my gosh, don't approach me like that. Come in as a son through my son, and you can come in fully. And when you praise, when you worship, you change atmosphere. Atmosphere that doesn't happen doesn't get changed until you start, till you release it, because you're a son and you're on earth like that. Our Father, which is in heaven, that's a location. And then we're going to move on. Hallowed be your name. So there's worship, there's the praise, there's the reference. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we hear a lot about that phrase in these days. It is a declaration. It's a posture. It's something you declare. Why do you declare it? Because heaven needs you to release that on earth. It's how it's set up. If a father gives his son authority in a realm and then goes to another location, what does he expect that son to do? If he's wise and if he truly gave them authority, he says, I want you to take care of business till I return, right? He doesn't say, hey, don't touch a thing. Sometimes we do say that to our kids, like, I'm going to go for a minute, don't touch a thing. Because you haven't graduated to being responsible yet, so don't touch a thing. Don't drive the car. You're only 10. I know you think you can. Don't. But this location thing is very important. He's called you as a son. He brought you into sonship if you know him. This isn't automatic. This is redemption. This is salvation. And so if you have that, then you are something different. Don't act like someone that isn't a son. That's ridiculous. That's not following the instruction. So come and make declaration. And every time you're standing in this location and you declare heaven here as it is in heaven, you're acknowledging the model. And you have the authority to call it down, and that's how it works. And all of this accusation about why did God and how did God let that happen, the real question would be that we should ask ourselves is, who's not doing their job and who's not standing in their sonship and their position that let this happen? So I love people that enter into intercession and they really start taking ownership of this. And what do they say? Not on my watch. I remember seasons when we were really, really focused on this and we probably need called back to it. Jesus, call us back. That we would have our 24, once a month. It was what we could do. So we did what we could do once a month for 24 hours, changing. People signing up and coming. And we would do that in the tent and we would go for these things, a whole 24-hour session and time of someone praying. And if something happened that night, I remember that feeling and seldom did it. Like, whoa, not in our area, not on our watch, because we're holding up the fire. We're holding up the baton. We were tapping in. When we do that, you're tapping into bringing heaven and and this thing expands. And if you've read people on prayer that have wisdom and insight, when we pray and we begin to praise and we worship, there's an atmosphere that changes and begins to go beyond the walls. And it moves out. I've experienced this. I've been so aware at times when I'm in the spirit that this happening. If I'm just up here by myself and I'm just singing, worshiping, I enter into that. I'm not practicing a song anymore. I'm truly like in the spirit, just praying and, you know, and into that thing. I so often I've been like, I know I'm this thing's it's going, it's growing because it's the kingdom. It's powerful. And it's not about thinking I'm powerful. It's about this is powerful. This changes things. This transforms things. So here we are as sons and daughters. Here we are being given something. Here we are left on earth in this location because there's something our Father in heaven is in that location, but he has come through his Son Jesus, left us with, and I mean this happened early. Genesis. I think by chapter 1, I forget the exact reference, on the first mandate, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. He wanted us to rule. We were to rule. That's our job description. Rule, reign, be fruitful, multiply. That's your job description. So if that's what you've been left to do, and you don't rule and you don't reign, guess what else? Well, something does. Something will. So every time you pray, I want you to realize every time you pray, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than that. You've been endowed with authority, not because you're great, but because he's great. And because you're adopted into a son, it's like an orphan or someone that's gone through adoption. They have to be trained about who they are now. You're not an orphan anymore. You're a son. Are you talking about that? I mean, I think the laws and the protections and the elements. I'm not using the right terms, but if you're adopted, you're more of a son than your natural born sons. I'm struggling with words, but it's a more legal, like more binding thing. If the adoption is actually more powerful than having a child just born to you. Isn't that wild? So if you're adopted, you know, we're all adopted in Christ, like we're brought in that way. It's a very binding thing. God chose. He did not have, you weren't an accident. For him, you didn't just happen. Chose you, and he adopted you through his son, like he brought you in. It's a binding role, binding position, posture. So this declaration, take it to heart. So this isn't about whining and negotiating to God. Understand, you start to pray, you start to praise, you begin to be thankful, change the atmosphere, things start happening. Because of what you're doing and who you are. They start changing. Whether you physically see it or not, you've got to understand by faith, you've got to believe this. It changes things. So it changes our whole dynamic when we pray. And how we present ourselves, how we come to the Father. And then verse 11, you see this. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our model. We're bringing heaven to earth. Whatever's wrong here, we're here to bring that here. To bring healing here, to bring restoration here, to bring provision here on earth as it is in heaven. We've been left here in this location to bring that. Now look, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You all know it, you know it, you know it, you know it. Now let me challenge you. This is instruction how you should pray. You are supposed to ask. If you are only religious, if you have a religious mentality about this whole thing, then you'll be like, I don't want to ask. I shouldn't ask. I don't ask for myself. I can't tell you how many times through my life, someone that kind of has a religious spirit on them, oh, I don't ask for myself. really, that's stupid. Like, oh, I wouldn't do that because I'm, what are you? You too good to ask? The instruction to ask, I hope I change your whole paradigm about this right now. If you don't ask, you're prideful. That's what not asking is. That is an orphan spirit saying, I don't need you. Now, I've had plenty of that in my life. I was not an orphan, but I had a lot of bad behaviors like an orphan. I want that eradicated. I don't want to be walking around acting like an orphan. And the instruction from me as a son is ask. Because it's good for you. I know everything you need before you ask it, so I don't need you to ask, but it's good for you to ask. It puts this in position because when I give you what you ask for, then you'll be thankful for what you receive. And that's also good for you. Then you won't be entitled. You won't be like, oh, God owed it to me. I was born. Wow. No. And for the love of God, please, not in the church. Let's not have that attitude, that thought. I've had those thoughts. I've been like, oh, if God wants to give something to me, he will. Oh, man. Wow. Bad. Bad attitude. There were some other sins I was concerned about. That's one of the ones I should have been really concerned about. That's bad stuff. That's independence. That's witchcraft. That's self-sufficiency. Your Father in heaven wants an interactive relationship with you. I just want to encourage you. Start asking for your daily bread. How many of you think you actually need to do that? Now, I know you'll give me the religious answer, but are you actually doing it? Or do you go, no, I'll have to ask for that because the refrigerator's full. And the pantry's got food in it. I'm getting a paycheck this Friday and I don't have to worry about it, no sweat. I want to challenge you. How can you change up your everyday conversation with God and incorporate asking? I've been practicing this. Just asking the Lord for things. I'm very grieved when I see how little I do and what I don't even think I should. I shared it with a few of you here recently how I realized there was something I wasn't believing for because I'd resigned to, it's not going to be. I'm like, oh my gosh. It was kind of in my secret thought life thing, doing how I was dealing with something, kind of checking out, giving up on something. That's not good. Because nothing's impossible for him, and he loves me to ask him. That bless it. I would want my daughter to ask me for what she needed, not figure out a way to do it herself. Of course, you grow up, and that there's all of those things about growing up. But I'm talking about in that place, in that role. You don't grow up out of God. Stay in this place. He's your Father. Always will be. He may also incorporate being a friend of God. That's a great place to get to. He's always your Father. I don't want that to change. I hope that never changes. I'm always going to be a son. But I want to be. That's awesome. And so ask for your daily bread. Ask for whatever need comes. Just simple requests. Father, can I have this? Father, provide. Because you're the provider, and I'm going to give you honor for being the provider. Verse 12, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So forgive our debts. This kind of is a coverall for repentance. When you acknowledge a sin in your life or failure in your life, don't negotiate. Don't promise God anything. Don't go there. Just repent. You see something wrong, whether it's an attitude, an action, or whatever, or you colored your hair the wrong color, whatever. Just repent. Just acknowledge it. Just simple repentance. It's hard. It's hard not to negotiate. It's hard not to figure out a way to punish yourself. You understand that accomplishes nothing. You don't have anything to offer anyways. So don't go there. Just come as you are, acknowledge something, and just stand there. Just stand still. And let him redeem it. Let him forgive it. But you acknowledge. And then this issue of forgiveness is like, whew, we will never get away from this. It's the biggie. And here is the thing. Is that the request, Father, forgive me, because I failed. I screwed up. I made a mistake. And you have to ask for forgiveness. You ask for mercy. Like, wow, I need mercy. Just stop right there. But ask that. It's important. Acknowledge it. Ask for it. And then the next part of that prayer is, and forgive those as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive who has debt towards us, who owes us, who has offended us, who has done something wrong, like this forgiveness thing. And there's a summary then at the end of this sample prayer that revisits that. This put you in the right place, in the right posture to ask for forgiveness and then to also forgive. And this is something that is a hand in hand. It's connected. You don't get forgiven if you don't forgive. That never gets eradicated in the instructions. That stays that way. You need to ask yourself, because you have fallen short, and that's your normal. Unfortunately, we're all normal. We've all failed. We've all fallen short. Try as hard as you can. You've fallen short. You were born short. And then you need to practice this forgiving. Need to, and choose it as often as you need to. Lord, how many times do I forgive? Well, let's start with 70 times 7. I think that comes up to 490. That's what we should say to people. Forgive. I have. What number are you on? When you get up to 490, come back to me. And then I'll give you another assignment, because there's no way around this. You just have to do it. You just have to forgive, and it's in proportion. And the thing that will help you is every time you come back to going, I have a debt I have no way of paying. I owe, I have failed, I owe God, and I have nothing to offer him. There's no amount of money that will eradicate my sin or my failure. There's no amount of servitude that will eradicate it. I can't carry a cross around the world, that won't help. I can't cut off some limbs and fingers, that won't help. I can't shed my own blood. It's not worth anything. You have nothing to negotiate with. When it comes to being before the Father, you have nothing. Just your heart, your choices, and follow the instruction that he gives you. That's all you have. And what does Scripture say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all day. But Jesus is like, will you just do what I told you? Just do this. And so we want to live a life where we're just being sensitive to what the Spirit will bring these verses back and the instruction back to you. Just follow that. Be obedient to that. Verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. So I had a revelation about this. Like, so much of this stuff we learn, we try to do it, but until you get revelation, you don't do it with the real passion that you need to do it with. We need revelation. Pray for revelation, because just learning something is the beginning, but getting revelation on it, that changes everything. And I came to a place, I had a moment of seeing something, that the biggest thing that I can do, the choice that I can make, the guard against whatever sin is my thing to fall into, we all seem to have something, is to make a choice And the choice is this request. I want, this thing is really powerful when I got this. Every time, when I ask God to lead me not into temptation, I've just activated grace for my life. And that is what activates it. Choosing, because you can try the promises. You can try wrapping your mouth with a lot of duct tape. You can practice a lot of things to keep from sinning. And it's funny, sin has a way of getting through all those safeguards, doesn't it? It'll get through. It'll seep right out. So that doesn't work. But when you ask the Lord, when you make this choice, when you consider something that's difficult for you, and you make a simple choice, you offer a simple prayer, Father, don't lead me into temptation. I need you to help me not sin. I need you. This is that. Ask for your daily bread and ask for help in wherever where your weaknesses are. And when you do that, you activate grace. Grace is empowerment. Mercy is you get out of jail free. But grace is the empowerment to overcome. It's the thing that comes from heaven that makes you able to overcome and to change and to be different. And so when you pray this prayer, lead me not into temptation, you've just activated the grace that you need to do it. This prayer, this instruction, this prayer keeps you in a place of the humility, the posture, the sonship, the humility, all of these things. They keep you in this place of being able to receive really well from the Lord. I want that place. I want to maintain that place. I want to maintain. It's like we have our cell phones and we're like, I've lost signal. And you know, you get in this building and, you know, whatever, the foil and et cetera. So you run outside or you get to a window. Like I've stood over that window trying to get enough signal to, you know, use my phone. And the same way with your soul. Like get yourself in a posture where you can get signal. Get yourself in this place where the flow. Don't you love the flow? Don't you love it when things are clicking and you're free? And you're connecting with God and you know, I love that place. And then stuff comes and I get bogged down with junk. I'm struggling and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm more frustrated and I'm angry at myself and I'm angry at God. And I'm angry, you know, pretty soon you're just in a hot mess. It's a heck of a way to live. You've got indigestion, you're taking pills, and you're trying to control your blood pressure. And, you know, I mean, it just goes and goes. It just, how far do you want, you know, how far do you want to go? But getting in this place, this is, the peace comes back. Your health will come back, I'm telling you. A lot of what ails us is this spiritual stuff. You start getting in this place and get that flow back and get tap into what the Lord has for you. So lead us not into temptation is the access point of having grace come to you to overcome stuff. And then deliver us from the evil one. So it's that I'm not smarter than the devil. I got over that a long time ago. I don't yell at him. I don't talk to him. I don't nothing. I don't walk around saying the devil's stupid. I walk around going, I tend to be stupid. And I'm not a good attorney or advocate in court. And if I go to court against him, I'm definitely going to be to lose. He can think faster. He can move faster. He'll bring up junk that I can't fix. I have to go, yeah, you're right. I've screwed up. So stay out of the courtroom, send Jesus, your advocate, stay home, like, I'm not going in there, I'm cooked. I'm not going to go argue my case, even if I think I'm right. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to stay in this place where Jesus defends me. He's my advocate, because there's nothing the devil can pull on him. But there's everything the devil can pull on me, especially if I get puffed up and angry and prideful. Oh, boy, I'm a Thanksgiving turkey, yeah. And then it ends with, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And this is that lifestyle where we're attributing to God. You're God. I'm the Son. I'm created. You're God. Do you understand? When you stop doing that, You become puffed up and religious and get separated from him. So this is, be proud of this every time that you're able, still able to know that you need to acknowledge God is God and this the kingdom is yours. I didn't show up on the planet and go, okay, hey, what do y'all owe me? But instead I come and I go, yours is the kingdom, it's your kingdom, it's your air I'm breathing, it's your dirt I'm standing on. You're the wind in my sails. You're my sails. You are the all in all, the beginning and the end. I ain't got nothing. Except that you love me and I'm a son. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to enjoy it. Christmas morning, I'm a son. I don't stand outside and look in at the Christmas tree. I'm inside. I'm a son. I'm at the Christmas tree. I have presents. I have gifts given to me because I'm a son. Your true children don't deserve what they get, right? You know that dumb Santa Claus thing we did? And, he knows who's naughty and nice. Wow, that's like doctrines of demons. Please don't do that to your children. Give your children gifts because they're your sons and daughters. Could we do that? Knock off this behavior stuff. I guarantee you, none of them should have Christmas if it's based on their behaviors, right? They're all disqualified, so. I know, you give them gifts anyway, so stop lying about it. Because this is how your Father in heaven deals with you. Will you get it? He doesn't give you gifts because you deserve them. He gives you gifts because he chose you, because you're a son, you're a daughter. And you want to access that. You want to tap into that. And the summary of this sample prayer is, for if you forgive, I mean, here it goes back to the forgiveness. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Some of you got a list to work through. You can tell who you haven't forgiven yet. You may be able to fool a lot of people. But you know the reaction in your heart. The name comes up, you're like, "Rrr." Work on the list. Because that thing will stop all the flow. It'll stop everything. It'll stop your health. It'll stop your destiny. It'll stop your finances. Do I have your attention yet? It'll stop your favor. It'll screw up your favor. Get into this place. You can do this. There's nothing on earth that's bigger than God. There's nothing's bigger than him. He trumps everything. He just, boom, puts that card down like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've played, he can trump it. He has a higher card. He has a higher power than that. He's God, and you want to put him first, want to get him first. We went through some teachings here a little bit ago. Where Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than these? Like, yeah, of course I do. Peter, do you love me more than these? I said I did. Do you love me more than these? What? The exasperation. Have you ever been exasperated with God? Yeah, he keeps asking you the same question. Maybe there's something you're missing. You're like, don't you hear me? He's like, don't you hear me? I'm going to call you. Don't love anything more than you love Jesus. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You need to put him first. You want life to flow. You want to be able to love in genuine ways and really love. Then love him first. Love the Lord first. Put him first. Get him first. Repent until you get him first. Do whatever you have to do. Get this right, people. It changes everything. It changes everything. This is a sample prayer. I encourage you to think and listen and look and meditate and ask the Lord, what is this and how does this work and how can I do this? Ask the questions. there are a lot of ways, places to go. But let me close with this chapter, this verse out of, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And it was another thing, I got revelation on it. I don't know, I can't tell you the backstory to it. And I'm not in the right place, 1 Timothy 1. It must be the other, maybe it's 2 Timothy 1:12. Yeah, it's 2 Timothy 1:12. I was reading it. I don't know. It was several years back. But boy, once I got this, once it clicked, it changed how I conducted myself, like in this area of committing things to the Lord. And the scripture is this: for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, settled. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. And I got it. He keeps what I commit, and I see my action in that. I need to commit things to the Lord. I need to give things to the Lord. So people will come and they'll share. This is where my faith is when it comes to praying for people. Come and share something, share a problem, share something. And I answer this way, and then we do it. Said, let's commit it to the Lord. So I have faith for this because I watch this all the time. The things I actually commit to the Lord, instead of being independent and try to figure it out myself, you know, those things. What I commit to him, I watch without my striving, I watch these things happen. I just have a running testimony about this. I commit it to the Lord and I watch it happen without me figuring it out or doing anything. That's a great deal. That's better than a Black Friday special. I encourage you, practice that. Commit to him because he's it. That's all heaven waits for, is for us to do this. Why isn't God? Because he waits for us to release things on earth, whether it's for other people, whether it's for our community, whether it's for our church, whether it's for our nation. He's waiting for the sons and daughters to manifest, the manifest sons and daughters. I mean, that's a whole nother teaching. I want to be in that tribe of the manifest sons, the sons that manifest sonship. The people that manifest being a son to the Father, that's really all it is. And once you manifest that, you walk in the supernatural, you walk in power, you walk in love, you walk in true freedom. I'd be in it just to be free. Free from the fear of man, free from stuff, free from fear. Yeah, baby, that's great. We pay a lot of money to pursue those things. So receive the instruction and let it change how you pray about things. Pray as a son. Take the instruction very serious. Take your father serious. He gave you instruction so that you can be more than a conqueror. He gave you instruction so that you can overcome. He gave you instruction so that you can, bam, break through and change the whole world. That's the promise that's for us. Now, that's the promise. Let's pray. Father, let's just wait on the Lord a little bit.